We're holding on page Nunches in Shabbos, the next to last of the narrow lines, middle of Os Pei Zayin. Been talking about about honoring Shabbos, and the last thing was the story of Yosef Moshe Shabbos. So now continuing on that theme of the reward that a person gets for honoring Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Bomine Rebbe Merabbi Shmuel Merabbi Yosef." Rebbe asked, page Nunches in Shabbos, middle of the page.
Where is it inside?
Middle of the page, about the end of the narrow lines.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah. So Rebbe asked Rebbe Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, "Ashirim sheba Eretz Yisrael b'mehem zochim." With what zchus do the rich people in Eretz Yisrael? What particular zchus do they have that makes them wealthy? Amalei, so Rebbe Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi tells him, "B'shvil shema astrim," because they give meiser from their produce. Shenema aser to aser, as the pasuk says, we just had it in the kriya of the second day of Yom Tov, aser to aser, which we now should means aser reshvil shetis asher, give meiser in order that you should become rich. So the Gemara actually mentions in Tainus that this is the only thing where you're allowed to test Hashem to sit and send, and you'll see that it works. So therefore, so that's the schos by which they become rich. Marashov over here refers to his Pirush on that Gemara and Tainus. He says you don't even have to change the word to Aser from a sin to a shin to make the Derasha. What it means is Aser, if you give Meiser to Aser, then you'll have a lot. So in the future, you'll again be able to give Meiser. So therefore, in other words, it'll be an ongoing thing. So then he asks, what about the rich Jews in Bavel? What are they zocher with? They don't have the mitzvah of Trumas and Maisris over there, because it only applies Minat Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So he answers, because they honor the Torah, because you have many Talmid Chacham in Bavel, and the rich people over there honor them, and with that they're zocher to great wealth. There is, by the way, some discussion about, why don't we say, because they give Maisir from their money. So one answer could be that, in fact, Maisa Ksafim may not be even Daraisa. There's a big discussion among the poskim whether the concept of Maisa Ksafim is even Daraisa or whether it's only Dirabon. So if we say that it's not Dirabonon, and if we say that there's also a discussion when we say Asa B'Shvil Shetis Asher, does that apply only to Maisa of produce, or does it also apply to Maisa of money? If you say that, and for example, and many Rishonim say this, that it only applies to Maiser of produce, well, then we understand Rebbe's question very easily. In Bavel, they don't have that, so what schus do they have instead? If we say, on the other hand, the Tur seems to say that, yes, Maiser Ksafim is also included in the bracha of Asher B'Shvil Shetis Asher. So in that case, what's Rebbe's question? They give Maiser Ksafim. So one answer of that is still, given that according to many Rishonim, it's only Dirabanan, then the question is, why would that be enough? We're not just talking about stam rich people. Rashi makes a point, we're talking about over here extremely rich people. La'osha gadol kazeh. So that it should be just because they're keeping a drabbanon to do maisa ksafim is not necessarily where that might be reason for them to become rich. Fine, if we say like the Torah that asher b'shvil shetis asher applies to maisa ksafim, but not to the point of being fabulously rich. So then the question is that, and the answer is because they honor Talmid Chacham.
The Rebbe and Tanya are very strict on giving it 20% even.
That's true. Nonetheless, though, the question is that enough for them to be zocha to tremendous wealth? And the answer is no, it's more the point because they honor Talmid Chachamim with their wealth. So the Torah doesn't necessarily hold that it's Daraisa, but he holds that Asa B'Shvil Shetis Asher applies also to Maisa Ksafim and not just to Maisa of produce. Anyway, so then he asks, what about rich, very rich Jews in other countries? So they don't, in those other countries, they don't necessarily have enough Talmid Chachamim for them to be honoring them. So with what are they zoicha to their wealth? So Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi tells him, b'shvul shemechabden as a Shabbos, because they honor Shabbos, and for that Hashem rewards them with tremendous wealth. As an example, to Amar Rabbi Chiya Ba'Abba. Now, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi is not giving the example from Rabbi Chiya Ba'Abba. Rabbi Chiya Ba'Abba is a couple of generations later. But the Gemara, now when it's bringing Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, it's giving an example from a later time where we see an example of such a thing. So Rabbi Chiya Ba'Abba says, "Pamachas nisarachti etzo balabais b'Ludkiya." One time I spent Shabbos by a balabos in Ludkiya. It's a city nowadays. Nowadays it's in Turkey or Syria or whatever, outside Eretz Yisrael and outside Bavel. They view the front of Shulchan Shel Zahav. They brought in front of him a gold table, Masi Shisha Osa B'nei Adam, where it took 16 people to carry it. That's how heavy it was. But now HaKosef says over here, the fact is there might be a little bit of a guzma over here. The fact is, I mean, a table like that, you wouldn't even necessarily have in a royal palace, much less by a private balabas. So he says maybe what it means is, in other words, he had 16 avodim who worked for him, and they would set the table with all kinds of fancy kalim and everything. So therefore, you could speak of the table as being carried by 16, but not necessarily literally that you're talking about one big slab of gold that's being carried by 16 avodim.
An exaggeration.
Yeah. With that said, we'll talk about after we have the description of the table. Then Marsha gives a reason why the Gemara expresses it in that way. Anyway, so the table was heavy enough that it took 16 people to carry it. And on the side over here, actually, Yad Yosef brings from Yafei Toya, one of the Mephoshim on the Medrash, who says, after all, when the it's going to go on to describe, there were chains on it, and there were the cups and bowls and whatnot were attached to the table. So with all of that, yeah, it may have actually been heavy enough for that it took 16 people to carry it. Anyway. There were 16 silver chains attached to the table, but pashtos to use for carrying it or for hanging it up. We find in different places in Mishnayos that they had like that. They would have like folding tables sometimes, or they would use chains to hang them or to close them up when they're not in use. Attached to the table were bowls and cups and pitchers and sloichias, which are bottles. So all of those were attached to the table. But all of Komine Michael, the Komine Minim Godim of Samim, on the table were all kinds of foods and all kinds of delicacies and spices. When they put the table down before the meal, they would say the pasuk that the balabas recognizes that the world and everything that's in it belongs to Hashem. He shouldn't think for himself that all this wealth just belongs to him. When they took it away, and Rashi points out, based on a Gemara in Brachas, that it means that it means also they're recognizing the fact that it doesn't belong to us until we make brachas on the food. Then when they were taking it away, after the meal was over, Omrim, they would say the pasuk, Shamayim, Shamayim, Hashem, va'aretz nasan livnei Adam. The heavens belong to Hashem, and the earth he gave to people, meaning once we say a bracha, as the Gemara tells us in brachas, then we have the right to eat this food, and we have the right to enjoy Hashem's bounty. Marsha talks about an idea, it's brought in Midrashim, that the malach of Midas Adin, or in some places it says the malach HaMavis, has 16 faces. So to correspond, to neutralize that, is why he had 16 people carrying this table. And for the same reason, also, he had 16 chains attached to the table, where the idea is, like, so to speak, we find, for example, that Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, the famous story in Gittin, is chained up with a chain. So the same way over here, there were chains attached to this table, not just for the practical reason to hang it up or whatever, but also and to carry it, but also in order to ward off the Malach HaMavis with his 16 faces. So Marshall also points out, by the way, that not necessarily did they use this table for the actual eating. Marshall says, because after all, the fact is, as soon as you make the bracha, you're entitled to eat the food. It's not just so why would they first be saying the pasuk HaShemayim Shemayim LaHashem when they're clearing the table? On the face of it, they should say it as soon as they said the bracha. So therefore, he says that not necessarily they bring this table as they're actually going to eat on this table. In fact, we find in many other places in Shas where people used to eat at small little tray tables. People would recline like we do by the Seder, and they would eat off little tables, little personal tables. So therefore, this table over here was really brought more to honor Shabbos rather than if they would, and I guess they would use it as a buffet or something rather than they'd actually be eating off it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the
after bracha only on bread is there, I said, but yeah. Anyway, Omarti Loi, so the Pchia Ba'aba says, I asked this balabas, Bni Ba'meza Chisalakach, with what were you zoichet to such enormous wealth? Omali tells me, Katz of Hayisi, I was a butcher. V'chol behema shahoisamna, whenever I saw a nice animal, Omarti to Hezul Shabbos, I said, this should be reserved for Shabbos. So that was, in that way, he's honoring Shabbos all week with his work. In fact, Marsha points out, you have a Gemara in Beitza where you have Shammai versus Hillel. There are different ways of doing things. Shammai would do that, the Gemara says. He'd be in the marketplace on Sunday and he'd see a nice animal. He'd buy it and reserve for Shabbos. Then if on Monday he was there again and saw an even nicer animal, he'd buy the nicer one and then he'd eat the one that he bought yesterday. Now he doesn't need it for Shabbos anymore. Now he's going to reserve the nicer one for Shabbos. And that way the whole week he's eating L'Kavod Shabbos. So this butcher was doing the same kind of thing that whenever he finds a nice animal, he's not, maybe I'll find the nicer one later in the week, but maybe not. I can't be certain. Therefore, I have to reserve this one for Shabbos. In fact, Eitz Yosef points out, I mean, don't we usually follow Hillel against Shammai? And the answer is because it's not really a matter of Isser Beheter. It's a matter of Svara, which one is more L'Shem Shammayim, and therefore it's perfectly valid to follow Shammai's way of doing things. Anyway, in that way he was honoring Shabbos. With that said, there are Mephoshim who explain that it means he wasn't saying for himself, he was reserving it for his customers. If he had a nice animal earlier in the week, he would reserve it for his customers, and instead of selling it to somebody else during the week, he would reserve it for his customers who come to buy from him before Shabbos.
That's no big deal for him.
Well, that's the point is, in other words, that he's reserving it for Shabbat. Like this, he could have maybe sold it for a higher price earlier in the week. And as he's also taking a risk all the time, you never know. The animal might become treif, it might get injured, it might die, whatever. And then nevertheless,
it makes it personal for his Shabbos, makes it a higher level when he did
that. It all depends how you look at it. Yeah. Anyway, Amarti Loi, so the Priya Ba'aba says, I said to him, Ashrecha Shazachisa, happy are you that you were Zoicha to such a thing. And blessed is Hashem who gave you the schus to reach such a thing. So the double expression also means, in other words, that he's saying that you're very fortunate that you came up with this idea of acting in that way. And now happy are you that you have the schus that now you'll continue getting a bracha from Hashem by continuing to honor Shabbos. Further on, the Gemara says, Amalei Kesel to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the Roman Emperor asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Mipnei ma tav shol Shabbos reichai noidif, why is it that the food of Shabbos is so fragrant? The fragrance of it spreads so much more than the weekday food. Omalei, so Rabbi Yeshua tells him, Tavlin echad yeshlanu b'Shabbos shmoi. We have a certain spice called Shabbos, shana matilim l'seichi, we put it into the food, v'reichai noidif, and therefore it makes the smell of it spread and be very fragrant and very attractive smell. Omalei, ten loy himenu, so the emperor says, give me some of it. Omalei, Rabbi Yeshua says, can't. Call him a Shabbos moi loy. Anybody who keeps Shabbos, then that spice will be effective for him. If the person doesn't keep Shabbos, then it doesn't help for him. Marsha points out that there was actually a play on words in what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, because there is a spice that's mentioned in a few places in Shas called, it's also called Shabbos or Shevis, whatever. It's written Shin Beis Sof, how exactly it's pronounced. You have different Mephoshim talk about, but in any case, So he says we have a certain kind of spice called Shabbos or Shevis or whatever. In English it's called anise. You have, for example, arak is flavored with it, and various other cuisines are flavored with it. Anyway, so the emperor thinks we're talking about that. Well, in that case, then give me some of it. And Rabbi Yeshua tells him, no, we're actually not talking about the spice Shabbos, but rather the Shabbos as in the day, and that the and then that goyim like you have no part in.
Oh, sorry, a guy doesn't get it anyway.
You
can't keep
Shabbos. That's the point. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua tells him, you're not going to be able to have that special aroma and fragrance in your food. In fact, the Medrash. In fact, the Medrash tells a similar story involving Antoninus and Rebbe, where you have over there one time Antoninus visits Rebbe on Shabbos and he has some of the food and it's really delicious. Even though, keep in mind, on Shabbos the food is mostly cold because you can't except for cholent, you can't keep it hot for Shabbos. Then he comes back during the week and the food is hot, but it doesn't taste as good. And he asks him and Rebbe gives him the same answer. So he explains that it's something specific to Shabbos food. Even during the week, you don't have it. So the Gemara continues. Amalei Resh Gulusel Rav Hamnuna. Mai Dichtiv L'Kedosh Hashem Mechobad. Now you have the Pasuk that we say before Kiddush on Shabbos day. It comes from Sukkim in Yeshaya. That says, V'Korosel HaShabbos Oneg L'Kedosh Hashem Mechobad. So the question is, the Karasa L'Shabbos Oneg obviously means you have to make the Shabbos day itself a delight. As the Gemara talked about earlier, how you do that exactly. So now what about the second part? The Kedosh Hashem Mechobad. What is the Kedosh Hashem if not Shabbos? Omalei, Sir Rav Hamnuna answers, Zeyem HaKippurim. It, for that part of the pasuk is referring to Yom Kippur. She'en bo lo yachila v'lo shesia. There's no eating and there's no drinking on Yom Kippur, so you can't make it an oneg like you do on Shabbos. Omra Torah kabdeu b'ksus nikia. So instead, the Torah is telling you honor it. The pasuk is telling you honor it with clean clothes. And that's the covenant for it, is that you wear clean clothes on Yom Kippur. Marsha points out, by the way, that like this, we had earlier in the previous parak, we had a whole discussion about about Shabbos clothes that we were saying we learned that itself from the word v'chibadtoi me'aseh istirachacha, that v'chibadtoi means to honor Shabbos by wearing nice clothes. Now here, Rav Hamnuna does not agree with that drasha. Therefore, he needs to learn it from the Kedosh Hashem Mechobar, and only by elimination, since there's no other way to show kavod for Yom Kippur than it has to be with clean clothes. Also, Marsha says that this is, by the way, why when we say ksus nikia. Now, before by Shabbos, we didn't mention clean clothes; we just mentioned different clothes. Here, we're making a point: clean clothes. Marsha says this is the source for the concept of wearing white clothes on Yom Kippur. We wear a kittel. Is based on this idea of kabdeu ksus nikia.
Does it say Shabbos regarding Yom Kippur?
It does, but the fact is that the Shabbos Shabbos means you have to rest from work. You're not allowed to do any malacha on it. That doesn't necessarily tell us. The whole point, the whole concept of covered and onik Shabbos, you don't really have clearly in Chumash. You only have it really in first in the words of the Nevi'im. So in fact, the Alter Rebbe summarizes it at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. He says that there's two things in Shabbos that were explained by the Nevi'im, Kavod and Oinu. The ikur of them is from is in the Torah, because Shabbos is one of the Mikroi Kodesh, and Mikro Kodesh means that you have to honor it. But the Torah doesn't spell it out in detail. The Nevi'im spell it out more, the Lokaros of the Shabbos Oinu, Lokdosh Hashem Mechobod, and therefore, so we really only know the details of it from that pasuk. So the Gemara continues, v'chibadoi. Now, when you're saying the pasuk continues that you should honor Shabbos, again, that doesn't necessarily mean. Now again, Rabbi Yochanan learned from before from that that it means that you have to wear Shabbos clothes. Rav and Shmuel that we're going to mention over here in the Gemara are not necessarily agreeing with that. They said v'chibadoi refers to honoring Shabbos with food and drink. So what does that mean? V'chibadoi, Rav Amala Hakim. Rav says it also means that you should eat the Shabbos meal earlier than you do on the week, and that's the covet of Shabbos, that you're not waiting as long to eat. Or Shmuel Amal Acher, Shmuel says, on the contrary, you should eat later than usual. That way it's more covered for Shabbos, because now you're more hungry and you'll eat the food with more of an appetite. Tosfos points out there's no real machlokas. It depends whether a person normally eats later or whether he normally eats earlier. If a person normally eats dinner at an earlier time, then Shabbos, he should delay it. And if he normally eats it at a later time, then on Shabbos, he should make it early. And that way, it'll be different than the rest of the week. So in that connection, Omru le b'nei Rav Papa, le Rav Abba, le Rav Papa, the sons of Rav Papa ba'Abba asked Rav Papa. So Rav Papa ba'Abba is obviously not Rav Papa. They're just two different people who share the same first name. So they asked, Ronanan, what about our situation? We have meat and wine available to us every day because their father, when they inherited from, was rich. So how should we make our Shabbos meal different than the other days? Apparently, they considered that just making it earlier or later is not necessarily going to be enough. Maybe they didn't have a fixed schedule the other days, or maybe they figured you still need something more than that. So he tells them that's exactly it, the schedule. That's exactly it. If you usually eat earlier, then make it later. And if you usually eat later, more than on Shabbos, you should eat early. And that's how you'll make it different. Further on this topic of how of when to eat the Shabbos meal, then the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes. Now, Rav Sheshes was blind, so he couldn't see when it's time for the Shabbos meal. So therefore, during the summer, he would have the Chachamim who are coming to learn from him on Shabbos. During the summertime, he would have them sit in a place where, when it comes to mealtime, it'll be sunny. And that way it'll be hot and they'll be uncomfortable. And that way they'll get up. And that way that'll also be a signal to him that it's time to stop his shiur and go have the Shabbos meal. Marsha learns differently. Marsha says it's not so much that Rav Sheshes is concerned about when he himself is going to eat his Shabbos meal, but more that he wants to make sure that his Talmidim eat at the proper time, that they're not spending the whole day learning and forgetting about the Shabbos meal. So therefore, he would have them sit in such a way that when it becomes when the sun reaches there, then it's going to be uncomfortable, and then they're going to want to get up, and that way they'll go once they're up, then already they'll leave and they'll go eat their Shabbos meal. Besitva, and during the winter, the opposite. Moisiv lehuda rabbanon hecha dematya tula. He would make sure to have them sit in a place where it'll be shady, where then it'll be colder than usual. In both cases, hecha delekuma haya. That way they'll get up quickly, and that way they'll go eat, their Shabbos meal in the proper time. So basically, in other words, Marsha says he held like Rav that the better thing to do is to eat the Shabbos meal early. Earlier than usual, rather than later than usual. So therefore, he arranged the seating such that they would go early in order to eat their meal. And the Gemara says, and similarly, Reb Zera Mahader Azuzi Zuzi Derabanan. Reb Zera would go around and circulate among the pairs of Talmid Chachamim. You have people who are Talmid Chachamim who are sitting and learning Torah b'chavrusa and talking in Torah. He would go circulate around among them. Omalahu, and he would tell them, I beg of you, don't be mechalal it, Shabbos. In other words, don't just spend the whole day learning. Go and in fact, go and enjoy your Shabbos meal and have the oinig of Shabbos. In fact, it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, actually. It was actually mentioned in one of this week's project, Lakota Sichas mentioned this point also, that it says in Shulchan Aruch, Balabatim, who don't have much time to learn during the week, they need to spend more time on Shabbos learning. That would be their Onik Shabbos. Tamid Chachamim, who anyway spend the whole week learning, their Onik Shabbos should consist of spending more time on eating and drinking. So that's what Reb Zera is saying to these Chachamim, is don't just sit and learn the whole day, then it'll be no different than the rest of the week. Make sure you have your physical Onik Shabbos, because that's for you, that's the main thing. Okay. The Gemara says, Amar Rava v'itemer Rabbi Yishur ben Levi. Rava says, or some say Rabbi Yishur ben Levi says, even if a person is davening by himself on Erev Shabbos, on Friday night, that is, he has to say Vayichulu. Now we actually say Vayichulu and davening twice in Friday night davening. We say it in Shemana Esrei, and again afterwards we say it together with the Tzibur. Really, actually, it's brought, the poskim bring, the more important one really is the one during Shemana Esrei. The reason why we say the one after Shemana Esrei is because think about it, if Yom Tov comes out on Friday night, like it did this past Shabbos, then you're not saying Vayichulu in davening, instead you're saying a Yom Tov Shemana Esrei, so then you're not saying Vayichulu at all. So therefore, they made a takana that you should say Vayichulu after Shemana Esrei, and to make it consistent, Loi Plug, they made it that every Shabbos of the year you should do that even when it's not a Yom Tov. But the more important one is the one in Shemana Esrei. So when a person is davening, Friday night davening, he has to say the psukim of Vayichulu. The Omer of Hamnuna, as in fact, Rav Hamnuna said, Kalam Spal Be'er of Shabbos, Ve'omer Vayichulu, when a person davens on Friday night and says Vayichulu, Mala Olam Akosiv Kilim Nasa Shutter Flak Kodesh Baruch Hu B'mayis Bereshis, then the posuk counts it as if he became a partner to Hashem in creation. Because, in other words, Marsha says, he's giving Eidos that Hashem created the world. So they, without his Eidos, it wouldn't be known. So now, how did Hashem create the world? Marsha goes on to say, the Gemara itself is gonna explain in a second, by speaking. These days, Tanya also talks about that point. So therefore, just like Hashem spoke the world into existence, the same way this person is speaking and acknowledging that Hashem created the world, and in that case, he becomes a partner to Hashem in Ma'aseh Bereishis. So that's what we're saying. Even a Yochid, even though his Eidos, usually an Eidos of one aid, is not valid, nevertheless, still, just that he's saying it makes him a partner to Hashem in Ma'aseh Bereishis. There's other points about it also. Iyun Yaakov makes a point when the Gemara is saying Be'er of Shabbos, why doesn't it say Beleil Shabbos? The fact is, that's when you daven. So he says, we're talking about even a person who takes in Shabbos early, because he wants to be Moisif Mechol Al HaKodesh, was a very good thing. So you're going to say, what do you mean by Yichulu? How can you say now Hashem completed? We know Hashem went until the actual deadline, because Hashem knows Itav Regov, Hashem knows the exact moment, even though we human beings don't. Nevertheless, it's still considered as if Nasa Shutef La HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And since, unlike Hashem, we don't know the exact moment, therefore it's good for us to bring in Shabbos early, and therefore in that sense he's becoming a partner to Hashem. So Shenema Vayichulu, as the Pasuk says, Vayichulu, they were completed, but Altikri Vayichulu Ela Vayichalu. We can read it as if it said Vayichalu, they completed it. So who's the they? Hashem. And this person who's testifying that Hashem created the world, they, so to speak, like they did it together. Anaf Yosef points out a long thing about it from the Orach Chaim HaKadosh that after all the world was created in order for people to do mitzvahs in it. So therefore, So when a person is keeping Shabbos, then he's making that the world now has a purpose and the world continues to exist. And therefore, even though the world was created thousands of years ago, nevertheless, he's a partner in it because he's the one, he's helping to keep it in existence. So Omer Rabbi Lazar, Eliezer, Minayin Shad Dibur Kamaisa, how do we know that in this regard, speaking is like action? As the Pasuk says, with the word of Hashem, the heavens were made. So we see Hashem didn't have to do physical work. All he had to do was speak, as we have now at the beginning of Shari Yichba Amunah in today's Tanya, and the world came into existence. So by the same token, when the person is saying that Hashem created the world, then that's tantamount to him actually doing and actually being involved in creating it. This is Alter Rebbe also mentions on the last page of Tanya, the point that Shabbos has, that the both parts of Shabbos, Zohar and Shomer, have a pnimius and a chitzonius. The chitzonius is don't do work on Shabbos, and the pnimius is not to be speaking of work things. And the same thing as far as Zohar, that to be speaking words of Torah on Shabbos rather than mundane matters. The Gemara goes on. Amar of Chista, Amar of Ukva. Kolam is spawled by Erev Shabbos. Va'omer Vayichulu. When a person now is davening on Erev Shabbos and he says these words of Vayichulu, Shnei Malachi Asharis Melavin Loila Adam. Then two Malachi Asharis accompany the person. In fact, the Gemara mentions in Brachas that in general a person is accompanied by two Malachim all the time. So in the Gemara it mentions in Brachas that a person is accompanied all the time by two malachim. And in fact, for that reason, the Gemara mentions a paragraph that you're supposed to say before you go to the bathroom, basically asking the malachim to give you to excuse you while you go to the bathroom because, you know, they don't know of such things. And Shulchan Aruch it says nowadays we don't say that because you don't hold ourselves to be on the level to actually be accompanied by malachim, but still, at least on Shabbos, then we're saying, so umanichin yideyim al rosha, they place their hands on the person's head. And they say in the words of the Pasuk, your Avera has gone away and your sin will be forgiven. So again, it has to do with Marashah says he became a partner to Hashem in Maisa Bereshis. At that time is also, we know, when Shabbos began is when Adam was forgiven for his Avera. He had, on Erev Shabbos already, is almost not long after he and Chava were created, is when they had eaten from the Eitz Hadas. But then came Shabbos and Hashem forgave Adam to a certain extent for the Avera. That's why he composed Mizmor Shiri Yom HaShabbos in gratitude for that. So by the same token, over here then, when the person is accepting Shabbos and becoming a partner for Hashem in Maaseh Bereishis, then because of that, his Averas are forgiven. We had, it fits also with the Gemara that we had before, that even if a person is worshiping Avodah Zarah like Dor Enosh, then he's forgiven as a result of keeping Shabbos. So it all fits together. Then.
Shabbos, when you have the Neshama Yosiris, you have two souls, so it makes sense they equal to that.
They have two malachim, I guess. Yeah. Tanya, we learn in a braisa further on that point. Rav Yosi of Yehuda, Shnei Malach Hasharis, Malavin Lada Adam, Erev Shabbos, Mivesek Nes Tabesai. Two Malach Hasharis accompany a person from Shul to his house on Friday night. Echad Toiv, Echad Ra. One good malach and one bad malach. Obviously, what we mean is, in other words, one who's a saneger and one is a kateger. One is an accusing malach, and one is a defending malach. Marashah says, actually, we're not really talking about. There's really no such thing as a bad malach per se. What we mean is really the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara that accompany the person. So if the guy comes home, if he finds the candles are lit, so now there's light in the house, which brings shalom bayis, that earlier in the Masechta, it explained that that's the reason behind lighting Shabbos candles. and the table is nicely set and the bed is spread, which we don't necessarily just mean the bread, it could mean the bed for sleeping. After all, Friday night is the time for Ona, especially for Tamar HaChamim, but it can also mean the couch on which you recline to eat. Anyway, Malach Tov Omer, so then the good Malach says, Yirotzen Shnei the Shabbos Acheres Kach, may it be Hashem's will that next Shabbos should also be like this. Well, Malach Ra, Ona Omen, Baal Korchei, and the bad Malach is forced to answer Omen against his will. Which, in other words, Maharshal says, the point is, in other words, when the person is doing these mitzvahs, it means, in other words, so first of all, you have Hodas Baldin Kamei Eidim, when the bad Malach, the Yetzirah, is forced to admit that it should be this way the next week, that strengthens thing as if there were 100 Eidim, and the point is also that that he's doing the mitzvah properly, that itself strengthens his Yetzirah Tov for next week, that it should also be done properly. And if not, Malach Ra, Omer Yirotzin, Shetei L'Shabbos Acheres Kaf, and the bad Malach says that it should be Hashem's will, the next Shabbos should be the same way, or Malach Tov, Ono Omen Baal Korche, and the good Malach is forced to answer Omen against his will. Tosfos, by the way, points out that, again, going with what we said before about the guy with his table with the 16 slaves, that not always did they have that the Gemara in Pesachim. In fact, we have a whole sugya about the dinim of Kiddush. It says over there that you only bring the table after Kiddush. So nowadays, again, that we don't have these movable tables, we accomplish that by having the chalas covered until after Kiddush. And now when we uncover them symbolically, it's like they've just been brought to the table. So what do you mean the table should be set before Kiddush? So Tosfos says it's set someplace else in the house. They only bring it to him after Kiddush. But again, nowadays, since we don't do that, then we accomplish that symbolically by cover. It's one of the reasons, there's a few different reasons that are given why the chalas are covered, and then we uncover them. One of them has to do with that symbolically it's only being brought after Kiddush, to show that it's being brought. In other words, the point is it shows that it's being brought in honor of Shabbos. Otherwise, if you bring it before Kiddush, it looks like you're just bringing it because, you know, we got to eat dinner, a person's got to eat. But now, if you bring it after Kiddush, then it's showing it's being brought in honor of Shabbos. So the Ein Yaakov mentions over here, while we're talking about malachim that are accompanying a person, so he brings a piece from Bereishis Rabbah about the malachim that accompanied Yaakov. So he brings a piece from the Medrash. Yad Yosef brings, it's actually a Medrash Tanchuma. So Omer of Meir, also Odom Mitzvah Achas, when a person does one single mitzvah, Noisin Le Malach Echad, then Hashem gives him one Malach. If we have in Pirkei Avos, that Konele Praklet Echad, he gains for himself one advocate. Shtei Mitzvahs, and if a person does two mitzvahs, Noisin Le Beis Malachim, then he's given two Malachim. Mitzvahs Harbe, if he does a lot of mitzvahs, Noisin Le Malachim Harbe, then Hashem gives him lots of Malachim. Shenema, ki malach v'itzav alach, as the Pasuk says, Hashem will command his malachim for you. The lama, and what's the purpose of having all those malachim at his disposal, kedei l'shomer min ha-mazikim. So the Medrash says, in order to save him from mazikim. From koichas ha-tumah that would try to get it. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, yipo mitziv cha'elef v'gomer, the Pasuk says, 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your left side. So therefore, in other words, all those mazikim will fall and be destroyed by those malachim who are protected. Eitz Yosef also points out the word yipo can also mean, on the contrary, it may be referring to the good malachim, and yipo can mean to join together with them. You have, for example, a pasuk when Menashe the Naflu al David, that it means that they joined him. They joined his group of people. So therefore, Yipo Mitzid Chaelaf, on the contrary, can mean not that bad malachim will fall away and be destroyed, but on the contrary, good malachim will join up with you and become allies of yours. So Omer of Yitzchok, so the Medrash continues, Loma mina yamin revavo mina smol elef. So why does the Pasuk phrase it that way? Yipo mitzidcha elef, where tzidcha means your left side, or revavo miminecha, and 10,000 at your right side. Why is it that on the right side you have 10,000, and on the left side you have only 1,000? The reason is because the left side doesn't need that many malachim to protect you. Because the name of Hashem is written in the tefillin, and you wear those on your left arm, so automatically that keeps away many mazikim from that side. So only on the right side, where you don't have that, then you need a larger number of malachim to protect you. But on the other hand, though, the pasuk doesn't say there will be 1,000 on your right side. So on the contrary, what it means is it says they will fall. So not like Eitz Yosef is saying that the word yipo can mean to join you as allies. On the face of it, yipo means they will fall. So on the contrary, it means that 1,000 mazikim will fall at your left side and 10,000 at your right side. So why should more be falling? So the previous explanation explains why, Reb Yitzchak's explanation explains why there wouldn't be that many mazikim on the left side in the first place. But the way the pasuk is phrasing it, it makes it sound as though you have an equal number on both sides, but only 1,000 of them will fall and be destroyed on your left and 10,000 on your right. So why should the right have such a greater power to destroy mazikim?
So
the reason is because the left side is not so widespread with mitzvahs. The only mitzvah really that's done with the left side of the body is tefillin. Therefore, ena mapela sel elef mazikim. Therefore, it only has the power to make 1,000 mazikim fall away. But the right hand, which dominates and is used for most mitzvahs, mapelas ribi mazikim, that has the power to make 10,000 mazikim fall away. So the opposite of the previous explanation. Previous explanation focused on, you have the name of Hashem in tefillin, which you don't have something comparable on the right hand, but on the other hand, the right hand does many more mitzvahs, and therefore it has a much greater power. Okay, getting back to the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo'olam yisader adam shulchan be'erev Shabbos. A person should always set his table on Erev Shabbos for the Friday night meal. Even if he only needs a kazayis of food, let's say he's full. Let's say he had a big meal on Erev Shabbos. Now, you're not supposed to late in the day, but let's say he did. So now comes Friday night. He only needs the Marsha gives an example. Let's say he had a Suras Mitzvah on Erev Shabbos. Nevertheless, he should still set his table as though he needs everything, even though he's going to end up eating only a kazayis. And in Shulchan Aruch, actually, it brings different opinions, whether you are, in fact, yotze the mitzvah of the meal of Shabbos with only a kazayas. It does bring that yesh omim, that you actually need a little, that you need a kibetza, or even a little more than a kibetza. So what it says is, b'chatchila, you should eat more than a kibetza. If you really can't manage it, then you can be yotze b'dieved with a kazayas. Anyway, by the same token, a person should always fully set his table on Mitzoy Shabbos, even though the same thing, he may have eaten a big shalashudis, and he only has room for a kazayis, nevertheless, he should set the table as a covered for Shabbos. Rashi explains that it's an honor to Shabbos to escort it, like when a king leaves and you're escorting him, so the same way the Malava Malka, that's literally Malava Malka means escorting the queen, so therefore you're escorting the queen or the king of Shabbos by making a meal in its honor. And the Gemara continues, Chamin b'Motzoi Shabbos melugma. Hot food on Motzoi Shabbos, or specifically Chamin, Gemara terminology, usually means hot water. And yeah, it actually says it means hot water to drink or to bathe. On Motzoi Shabbos, melugma is a cure. One point is, Mefoshim make, is that you can't have, for the most part, you can't have hot food on Shabbos. Because again, it's hard to keep food hot on Shabbos in a way that's mutter. So therefore, when you have it again on Motzei Shabbos, then it's a refuah. It helps make up for all the cold food that you ate on Shabbos. Similar.
Is it the hot food or it's the hot bath?
So here we're saying the hot water to drink and to bathe, Rashi says. Apparently the idea is it's good. Either it means it's one or the other, or it means it's both. Like this, you should have the heat internally and externally. Pas chamim, Motzei Shabbos melugma. Similarly, hot bread, hot fresh bread on Motzei Shabbos is also a cure. And again, the idea is you couldn't bake on Shabbos itself. So you're honoring, Marsha says this way, you're honoring Shabbos with something new that was made after Shabbos that you couldn't have prepared on Shabbos. He says it's a similar idea to saying the bracha boda ma'oda esh. So when you get down to it, why do we say a bracha on fire on Motzei Shabbos and on Motzei Yom Kippur? So because you couldn't use fire on those days. There is actually a slight difference in halacha. With Shabbos, it's really more, on Motzei Shabbos, it's really more that we're commemorating the fact that Adam discovered fire on Motzei Shabbos. Yom Kippur, it's more the fact that we were also to use fire over Yom Kippur. And therefore, that's why in Yom Kippur, we need a Ner Shabbos, and on Shabbos, we don't. Nevertheless, on Shabbos also, there's a shtickle idea, Marsha is saying, that you're also commemorating the fact that now we can start using fire again, which we couldn't on Shabbos. So in the same token, then, when you're having hot water and hot bread, which you couldn't have those on Shabbos, then you're demonstrating with that that this is something that was also on Shabbos, and now you're starting again, Motze Shabbos. So therefore, it's a curative. It's a healing thing.
If you just take some leftover challah from Shabbos in the toaster oven and you make it hot, that's good enough.
Maybe that would be good enough. Also, I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know.
Think so.
Yeah, could be. So the Gemara tells. Well, with that said, leftovers. I mean, so we're going to talk now about leftovers. Actually, Rabbi Bohu Havu Avdin Leba Puki Shabsa Egla Tilsa. They used to prepare for Rabbi Bohu every Motzei Shabbos an Egla Tilsa. In various places, Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim discuss the word Egla means a calf. Tilsa means third. Doesn't mean that it's one third of its growth, where it's best quality. Doesn't mean it was third born to its mother, where the idea is like the mother is not doesn't have her full strength yet when she gives birth to the first and second babies, but by the third one she has her full strength and therefore the baby is better quality. Well, there's a few different possibilities. Whatever the case, the point is it was a good quality piece of meat. So they would prepare him a whole calf, have a ochum and a koyosa, but all he ate from it was one kidney. The pashtos, because I guess that's all he had room for after eating on Shabbos. Ki godol avimi brei. So when his son Avimi, when Rabbi Bohu's son Avimi grew up, Omalei asked, Lomaloch laf sude kolahai, why do you need to waste so much money if you're only going to eat a kidney? What's going to happen with the rest of the meat? Nishbet koyosa mimale shabsa. Let's just leave over one kidney from the animal that we shecht on Erev Shabbos for the Shabbos meals, and we'll save one kidney, and you can eat that from Malav Malka. Shavkua. So they tried it out and they left over the one kidney. But also, what happened was a lion came and ate the rest of the meat. So sure enough, they saw that they're not really gaining anything like this. The animal that they would have saved, not the rest of the meat, the animal that they would have saved that they didn't have to shecht, especially on Motzei Shabbos, that one ended up getting eaten by a lion. So therefore, they lost it anyhow. Which the point is, Marashah says, it's true, of course, Avimi has a logical point. On the other hand, it's not covered of Shabbos to use leftovers from Lava Malka. So therefore, Hashem was showing them with that you should treat it as an independent meal of its own, and it's worth having something independent for it, not just Shabbos leftovers. But of course, you know, if you don't, you are Yotze with leftovers of Shabbos. It's just, it's not the best way to do it. They do talk about, by the way, the importance of Malav Malka and also the Suda of Rosh Chodesh. You have in Shulchan Aruch, you have two simonim in Or HaChaim that are each only one line. Simon Shin, which says that you have to have Malav Malka, and Simon Tof Yud Tes, which is that you have to have a meal on Rosh Chodesh to underscore the importance. Those are important enough to deserve a whole simon of their own, even though it's only one sentence.
A meal meaning bread.
A meal in Pashas meaning bread, yeah. But
there's a lot of brachas you get when you bench on Shulchan Aruch also. I've read all three times. Even.
Yeah. So again, so in Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe summarizes that let's find it. You should set the table. And he says means that you should set it as fully as you would during the week when you're having a full meal. So even though you're only going to eat a kazayas for whatever reason. It means you should spread out a tablecloth and put out the dishes and so on and so forth. And you put extra lights, and then there's the whole concept of singing zmiras and so forth. So he says, the fact is nowadays that we usually eat shalosh shudas so late. So then you can be yotze malav malka with fruit. It's mitzvah and amovcho to have meat, like let's say over here in the Gemara, but it's not absolutely required up yalofa. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gola, Fes 7. You have the pasuk that by the marble that in the 600th year of Noach's life, all the fountains of the deep were of the great deep were opened up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the Zohar says the famous thing that in the sixth millennium of the sixth in the sixth in the sixth century of the sixth millennium, the doors of the higher chokhmah and the depths of the lower chokhmah will be open, and the world will be corrected in a way that will be preparing to go into the seventh millennium. So Chochmas Sibela'ela means Chochmas HaTorah, which had a tremendous advance around that time, and it'd be around the year Tofresh, and then the years in before and after that. Chochmas Sibela Sata is the Chochmas HaOlam, the sciences and arts and whatnot. And we see that at that time, there was this tremendous revelation of Chochmas HaTorah, Pnimis HaTorah, and there was also a tremendous revelation in Chochmas HaOlam, and all of that was to prepare the world to eventually go into the seventh millennium with all of those in their perfection. Okay, halacha, we're beginning a new simen in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Maso Matan, the halachas of business. We're probably not going to do every sip of it because not everything that it mentions over here is something that can actually be applied nowadays. When we do business, we'll do some of the highlights at least. Number one, a person has to be very careful not to cheat somebody else. And if he is, whether the buyer or the seller, he's over on a lab, because you have Altonu Ishasachi. In fact, when a person is brought in front of the base in Shamayla, the very first question he's asked, as we learned earlier on Shabbos, is Nasasav and Asata Bemuna, did you do business honestly? And Oino applies not only to buying and selling, it also applies to renting and hiring and contracting and exchanging coins, all those kinds of things. You have to look out for Oino. Now, you do have, when a person is Noisav and Noisin Be'emuna, then there's no Oino. So in other words, if the person actually says, I bought this for X amount and I want to make X amount of profit on it, and therefore, so it's clear to the buyer, so then there's no way in it because you've made clear what the situation is. Now, though, on the other hand, it's true, even though you yourself have suffered, I know you yourself may have paid an inflated price for something, you're not allowed to turn around and do the same thing to somebody else and do I know to somebody else. But here it would be mutter because you're telling him clearly, don't rely on what I'm saying, on the price, on what I'm saying the price is. You can go check it out for yourself. And if you choose to buy from me, then you can do that.